Good morning and welcome to the roundtable and to our roundtable panel and to our post-fun drive. I can guarantee you one thing at least four or five times during the next hour, we'll give the phone number.
Yeah.
We just know that is going to be the... We're taking bets on how many times we're going to say the phone number, Alan.
Oh, yeah, no.
What do you think? Oh, there
They're
seems
winding
to be...
Down.
The phone drive room is still on.
You know what, Rob? I think the fun drive mics are still on.
And then we got to turn our mics on because you can't...
Hear us. Oh, there we are.
There you go. Okay, that's all good.
Wow, you guys are amped up, aren't you? Jeez,
yeah, we're good.
Adrenaline level in
all
here
right.
is soaring.
Well,
I just got out of bed, had coffee with Mom.
Oh, all right. Be careful.
She
there,
pledged,
Alan.
You know.
We're ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, it was nice.
All right. Good morning, everybody.
Even
Welcome
Joe
to...
has a sweatshirt on. It's so cold in here.
It's to make it warm in this or to make it.
You want to explain it to everybody?
No.
new thermostat.
The fun drive room was filled with people. You had to keep it warm.
So you
have to make the whole back of the building freezing cold.
Right, there's icicles off of the mic set this morning.
That's
you can
fine.
See them probably on streaming video.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our panel. First and foremost, we want to thank everybody, just everybody who took part in the fun drive. It was an amazing fun drive. It's amazing to believe in 4 days, a morning, and a lockbox, you make $1 million. There are, without mentioning names, there are radio entities and broadcasting entities in the public nature who would kill for what we do. And it's because of all of you, and we thank you so much. I know Alan has a couple of people to thank.
Yeah, we
and
did want to
we'll,
thank a couple.
Because those were people that came in at the end and really saved us and made the end the end. So we want to thank those people.
That's cool.
And then we will get into the topics at hand, which I will readily admit at the beginning of the program, I didn't think we would have a panel, so I didn't send out topics to the group. I just
okay.
assuming we were going to talk about politics and everything.
Topics,
it'd be fine.
Yeah.
I know. Okay.
Okay, here we go.
All right.
Joe Fitzpatrick of Rosendale loves Ray Graff.
Well, there you go. You see, I'm glad we read that one.
And Matthew Veach of Saratoga Springs. Okay. And Joan and Gary Seitz of Otisville, New York. Thank you.
Where
guys.
Everyone has a chicken.
Yeah, Otisville rides an elevator. Thank you. And thank you to Anonymous from Niskayuna. Niskayuna. Have radio on all the time, tunes by ear because she's blind. And Jay Levine of Rhinebeck, New York, 1-800-323-9260. Rob Sweeney of Saugerties, New York, enjoys the station, wanted to be part
There's
of
There's
one,
so you gave the number. Go ahead.
Oh, did he give it?
Yeah.
All right,
I just
check.
Did it?
Yeah.
Everybody's
okay.
got a drink.
Oh, my God.
That's all right. It's
okay.
fine.
I didn't even hear it.
Well, you can still give money.
Yeah. And Patrice Heber of Kingston, New York, loves everything. And Jody of Wappingers Falls, I hate the opera, but I love... The nose-breathing monster.
Oh, that's you.
Is that you?
Yeah, they criticized me the other day for being nose. Elaine Steinert of Lenox. I love it. Wake up with WNC. Go to bed with WNC, except Saturday and Sunday night with the creepy music. And Anonymous from Schuylerville, New York. And Anonymous from
Pleasant, I know what I want that to be.
From Pleasant Valley, where everybody, Pleasant Valley, where everybody smiles. And I hope somebody will come back in here and take what they have left. In other words, these.
Yes, to make sure that these places go in the right place. I will take care of that during the break.
Okay,
and,
I wonder if anybody in the station listens to them.
They do. Oh, well,
I probably don't want to know the answer to that question. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the panel discussion. So let me introduce our group to you this morning. Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning. Long time since I've been on the radio.
I know. Rosemary Armeo, who made a brief appearance in the fun drive yesterday, and we're thrilled to have you back today. Thank you.
I'll be the one speaking at the normal rate of speed. I'm not all hyped up. I'll be very distinguishable today.
She was on for 2 hours yesterday.
I was.
It wasn't a brief appearance.
Well,
compared to you guys,
she carried
sure
the whole
was.
Thing. Alan and I were just relaxing the whole time.
Yeah, we were having fun.
I have to issue some threats against you about using stuff I said in the fun drive against me for the rest of my life.
What did
I'll
you say? What about slapping Alan in the head?
Oh, no, that you can say.
Okay, all right.
We got, because of that, all day long yesterday, we had people who were still, I'm still trying to raise the money so Rosemary can slap Alan. But that was.
We said $1,000.
Nobody pledged.
$1,000 a slap.
Nobody pledged, but they were like, I think they're collecting. So maybe the next time.
Something to look forward to in the next fund drive. I'll be doing hand exercises.
We'll make it $10,000 for the next fund drive.
Yeah, they're saving, so that's good. You always need something to save for. And Ray Graff is with us, of course.
Everybody.
Good morning. Thank you. So yeah, it'll be a little more relaxed this morning because we just came from the fund drive room and we moved from the Pledge Central studio to Studio A where we do the fund drive or where we do the roundtable, and we haven't been in the studio since last Friday, so it's very nice to be back.
It's like being home.
That's right. So let's talk about what's going on in the world. And all week, people have been writing in during the fund drive and saying, I can't wait to hear the panel talk about the Iowa caucus. Well, let us begin with what happened last night. The Democrats were dueling over which one is the real progressive. Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders faced off last night, and you will recall, of course, Monday night during the Iowa caucus, Hillary Clinton was declared the winner, although it was very, very close.
Razor thin.
Razor thin, 0.3%, I believe.
Now, we were actually in the fund drive when that was going on.
Yes.
But were there actually, I saw the headlines, were there actually coin flips that decided six of those, or was that hyperbole?
The NPR did a story on this, and actually was one of the few news entities to do this. It wasn't the way they made it seem. It was, to my understanding, yes, there were coin flips. And then the question was, why did they all go to Hillary? And there was a 66% chance of that happening, I guess, in real life. Yeah. So the but then NPR
coin tips are coin flips are not cumulative. Every time you do one, there's a 50-50 chance.
Yeah. So
I question the math or the way.
So there were coin flips.
Well,
yes.
The caucuses are very.
Well, I mean, if you hit six in a row, it's pretty good luck, but it happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I guess it was
a
question.
She should go to Vegas immediately.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, sorry.
Progressives don't go to Vegas. Remember, she's progressive.
Okay, so
it's a regressive tax.
Who comes off as the? Who comes off as? I guess the question I have is, you are in New Hampshire, so you're going to argue over who's the biggest progressive,
yeah.
And then when you move to South Carolina, you don't probably want to have that much of that message, right?
Okay, first of all, did anyone miss Martin O'Malley in the latest debate?
He wasn't there?
No, he dropped out of the race.
During the drive,
he
dropped out the other day.
I was asleep, so I don't know.
No, he dropped out of the race.
Most people were about his race, yeah, so he was not missed.
So we should note that Rick Santorum dropped out.
Yep.
Rand Paul dropped out.
Yeah.
Carly Fiorina is still in there. Don't know why.
Yeah.
I had the same thing I said last week about Martin O'Malley, saying now about Carly. What's the deal?
So they're down to about 14 or 17 Republicans who are in the race now, right?
To a manageable number.
26.
But the whole issue of the Iowa results came up in the debate last night between Sanders and Hillary. The newspaper there, the leading newspaper, the Des Moines Register, has called for an audit, essentially a recount, because it was indeed so close. And Bernie was very classy. He's not my candidate, as you know. I would vote for him if forced to. And he said, look.
Wait a second. You wouldn't vote for him?
If he gets the nomination, I will be voting for him.
Oh, I
absolutely.
See. I see, sure. And
but
I
he
think
was
the other way
very,
around for a lot of people.
Absolutely. But absolutely, he was classy last night. He said, look, if you have a recount, what are the results going to be? I get 22 and she gets 20 delegates. We got a lot of delegates to go. Let's move on. Very, very classy. Similar to when he said, I am not attacking her about the emails.
He said, I've heard enough about your emails.
Well, that's what he said the first time. Yeah. What he said last night was, everywhere I go, people ask me about it. Every day I get asked about it and I have never attacked you. I never will. It was extremely classy. And so I think they have it right. I think, we're going to see the same results in New Hampshire that we saw in Iowa. It may be Bernie that comes out by the razor-thin margin this time.
You think it's going to be razor-thin, though?
I think
He's
it is.
He's still polling very.
No, the polls are getting closer. And I think you're going to see a very close result. Or, maybe it'll even be a few. Maybe it'll be like Rubio, his giant win, which was what, 3% less than he was in third by a whole number of percentage.
Well, he played it well, though, didn't he?
Oh my God!
The response, it was
talk
like
about,
he won the Super Bowl.
How come he doesn't get branded as inauthentic and a liar? Geez, it just kills me that Hillary.
Oh, his
gets
time
all
will
this.
Come if it
I
goes
hope.
Any further.
But anyway, I would say that I don't think it matters, because after New Hampshire, we move out of the white people states and we go into the real country. And I think that if Bernie does really great in South Carolina, then I got to start changing my tune. The demographics in Iowa and New Hampshire are not what you're going to see in the rest of the country. And how he does in those two states is not representative of how he'll do everywhere. And if he does well, then I'm going to reassess.
I hope the folks in New Hampshire aren't listening, because they're part of the country as well.
Of course they are. It's not a representative demographic. Well, New Hampshire is simply not, but nor is Iowa.
It's a very white state.
But it is. But it's also important in that the reason they fight so hard to have these early primaries, this earliest of primaries, is because it becomes an industry. They make probably $1 billion on it at least by the time that they're done. And also because they are leaders, they become leaders. You see people dropping out right now because they didn't do well in these early venues. So it's not without, you know, its importance.
Right, it's true. That's very true.
What's the number to call?
That's funny.
We welcome your letters, roundtable. We have to get into that.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We will take a break. We will come back and continue our conversation. It is our post-fund drive edition of the Roundtable. We will be back after this short break.
Support for WAMC comes from Grapes and Grains Wine and Spirits, East Greenbush, New York, specializing in wine and craft spirits for more than 15 years, stocking single malts, bourbons, tequilas, and gins, grapesandgrainswine.com. And the Orchestra Now, conducted by Leon Botstein, continuing their inaugural season at Bard College's Fisher Center with works by Mahler and Bruch. February 13th and 14th, theorchestranow.org.
Rob Ray is very, very happy that you have gone the Zappa route this morning.
Yeah, so good.
Very pleased with that. 1-800-323-9262 is the telephone number if you were going to pledge during the fund drive, but the fund drive is over.
Right.
Yeah. Good morning and welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning.
We've never done this. Right into the roundtable after a fund drive. You're to be excused for saying the number.
Alan, you're not. What would you have done if you hadn't?
Well, we were ready. If we ended at 9:30, we had a plan. If we ended at 10, we had a plan. If we ended at 10:30, we had a plan.
Yeah.
So
we didn't really have a plan. For ending like 2 minutes before 9.
Yeah. 9, no. That,
I was racing in.
Ready for that. Good morning and welcome. We welcome your letters, roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. Okay, so we talked a lot about the Democrats. Let's talk about the Republicans. Was Donald Trump humbled in Iowa?
For like 2 seconds, and then he immediately came back and accused his superior, the guy who beat him, Ted Cruz, of fraud.
So let me ask you a question. If he did that last debate, do you think Trump wins Iowa?
I thought that it did hurt him. His absence in the debate, I think, hurt him. I also think I've postulated that Sarah Palin's endorsement did him no good either. Either one of those things might have made a difference.
Here's the point of minor, because we don't know.
Yeah.
We just don't know. You know, it could have broken either way. I have this theory that when people get into the voting booth, even though they may have told their pollster something else, they start to think about things like, would Donald Trump, for example, be an appropriate president of the United States? You know, and what would my mother have me do? And, you know, is this so you may be outraged at the way the country is going. You may want to send a shockwave and say, I'm going to vote for Trump. I like Trump and all the rest of it. But I think there comes a point when you have to face your maker or whatever else, and you're sitting in that voting booth and you say, it would not be responsible for me to do that.
I also wonder what the dynamic would have been and will be in future contests when there are only two. In other words, if it's Cruz or Rubio, if Trump is even close, if it's one or the other of those two guys, whether Trump is even in that discussion.
Well, what makes you think that's going
to
happen?
I'm sorry, I want to be clear. You mean when they're, when it gets down to three
people? Yeah, when it's Trump or Rubio or...
Cruz, say.
That's what I mean, Cruz or Rubio against Trump, whether Trump is even close.
Are you sure that's going to happen? The reason I say I'm sure that's going to happen because...
Eventually it'll have to happen, right?
Because, well, not necessarily. First of all...
I mean, I think you're talking about in the next few weeks, right?
Well, yeah.
Not necessarily, because it may be, it will be that Trump continues, you know, on a good way to win. I mean, in which case, then...
What about the other guys, though? That's what I mean. I meant to say, if it was Cruz or Rubio against Trump and there was nobody else, would Trump be even in the discussion?
Well, that's an interesting point. That's an interesting point. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, we have not really seen him, Ray, against one-on-one against anyone.
Yeah. So when you add up the second and third place winner, and they're doing better than Trump, you make an interesting point.
Yeah.
And what if Kasich does well in New Hampshire?
How's he polling?
Pretty good.
Better,
I mean,
since
great.
The New York Times coronated him, said he was the only logical choice, and that had no bearing in Iowa, but it might in New Hampshire.
So you look at what has happened ultimately so far in the Trump campaign. Part of the problem when you do this it's shtick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay to say it's shtick?
Yeah.
So when you do that shtick, that you are, you know, that you're invincible and you win and you're the top of every poll, and then you lose, then he did seem to have to figure out. It took him about 12 hours to figure out how to deal with that. And I'm just wondering, as time goes on, if there are more losses, at what point, if you have two or three, do you think he just folds in really quick?
That would be my guess. I think that would be my guess, because he does not do losing very well. He does not like humiliation. I think that's why he's in the race, because he was humiliated by the president at the correspondence dinner. I think that prompted him or pushed him. So he doesn't like being humiliated.
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, we all know there have been 1,000 reasons advanced that he's in.
Sure.
And it could be any one of them. The point is his monumental ego needs, and we certainly know that. And that he's in. But however, this has all the earmarks of a potential earmarks of a brokered convention.
So, really?
Well, I think it does. I think it does. The establishment doesn't want Cruz, and they don't want the Trumpster.
So Rubio will be the pick?
Well, that seems to be the coalescence that's going on right
now.
The
pundits are thinking that.
Yeah, but the pundits have been very wrong about many,
this whole
many
election
things.
Cycle.
Yeah.
Yes.
Many things. So, so if Trump is on top and goes to the convention with the most delegates, there's still a very good chance he won't get the nomination.
That's
very
true.
Good chance he won't get the nomination.
I have a funny story. I took my mother last night to Curtain Call to see it. Terrific play, by the way. And in the program, there was an ad from a local jeweler advertising Ivanka Trump jewelry. My mother goes, "Oh, is that his wife?" So he has achieved a ton just by this run so far. He has increased the value of his name, which, of course, is what Trump sells.
Yes.
He gives out his name. He has increased his following. If he ever wants to do TV again, I mean, he can drop out of this now and still have done himself a world of good.
For the brand.
For the brand, which is what he's all about.
Right. And so we also look at, New Hampshire is Tuesday night.
Yes.
We should note that we will be covering the New Hampshire primaries, and NPR will have coverage on Tuesday night of the New Hampshire primaries and those results as they come in. And, of course, we'll be talking about it all week next week. But when you look at the numbers, we do see that Donald Trump is doing very well in New Hampshire in the polls. Does that change quickly?
Where's all that adrenaline now, gentlemen?
No, I don't think everyone's looking at their
device. That's a hard question.
Well, it's a perplexing question. It really is, because You know, that's what I was saying a few seconds ago, if you guys remember. Probably not. But that, by the way, the deal is still on, right? That if anybody decides to contribute
$1,000,
she'll turn around and slap me hard.
Oh, God, that would be so fun, too, really. Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't promote violence, but that would really be fun. Richly deserved.
All right. So
accumulated over 2 years, Alan.
He made you what you are. Cut it out.
How about that's why I'm here at the crack of dawn on a minute's notice.
How about some gratitude?
I'm paying back.
Hang on.
9:30, the crack of dawn. Right.
Professor speak.
College professors, yes, indeed.
All right. So we have about a minute. Do you want to read some letters, Alan?
Sure.
People came back right that fast.
When Karen said, when Bill Clinton became president, Hillary tried for health care reform. She was totally shot down by Congress and the American people. She's also talking about the European model Germany for expanded daycare for working women, longer maternity leave, et cetera, et cetera. Gee, maybe she's telling it like it is when she says it's one thing to be progressive, but you have to know how to get things done. She's lived it. Does Bernie know how to compromise? Is it a political minus now not to compromise? That's the American tradition. And let's not abandon it quite yet. KW in Woodstock, okay.
So nice to hear someone who actually knows some history. That's great.
When it agrees with you.
I like it if you can point out history that disagrees with me. I always accept that.
Well, the fact of the matter is that I think Hillary has had some interesting hits on her, by the way. She's having a very hard time explaining to people. And I mean this. It's not because, you know...
Explaining what, Alan?
Well, explaining to people why she took oodles of money, hundreds of thousands of dollars from
because it was offered.
Well, you see, I haven't finished my sentence.
Okay, because I haven't answered.
You say, explain like what, Alan? And I say,
Explaining where she got all this money from,
and then you interrupt me.
Can you two hang on because we have a break coming up?
We have about 15 seconds.
Okay.
Or 45 seconds.
Well, the whole idea is that she took all that money from all of those banking fees. Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break. didn't you miss this over the last couple
days? Yeah, thanks for this.
We're going to return you to regular programming. Now everyone who gave money is like, no!
Yeah.
We'll be...
hasn't cleared yet, I'm sure.
We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Ray Graff make up the panel this morning. It is our post-fun drive edition. We will continue after this news from the BBC. Frank Zappa Friday on the Roundtable. Good morning.
Best.
Yeah, good stuff. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. If you're just joining us, the fun drive is over.
Yay.
It's safe to get back into the ocean. Good morning, and it's lovely to have you here. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Ray Graff make up the group this morning. They were the people in the building, and when the fun drive ended, here we are.
Yep, we're here.
Making up the group. Let us go to other issues. We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org.
Can I jump back in? Because at the break, Alan was making the point that Hillary has taken knocks, perhaps rightly so, for taking money from Wall Street for speeches. And I think I thought she did a great job last night. In fact, I thought the debate was one of the best I've ever heard. The moderators were good. The questions were serious. It was respectful and substantive. But she took two hits. And one of them was when Scott Todd asked her if she would release the transcripts of speeches she had given to Goldman Sachs. And he said, you know, we know that transcription services were available. And her answer was, well, I'll look into that. I think that could be a problem. He's not going to let that go. Other commentators and reporters are not going to let that go. And what they're looking for is, a Mitt Romney 47% type comment. That was a bad moment for her. And the other one was when she said to Bernie, I thought the speech leading up to it was great, but she said, you're conducting an artful smear against you and your campaign. And it's a nice expression, but not after you've talked about a vast right-wing conspiracy. You talk about those two things one after another, and it's adding up to paranoia. I did not think it made her look
good.
He
hit right back, though.
He didn't hit. They were great. I have to say, I thought they both did a fantastic job. I would, Bernie was weak on, very, very weak on foreign policy. If I were going to do my analysis, I'll shut up now, Alan.
No, I don't want you to shut up. Never. I
mean, no, we're all tired. Keep talking.
But I do. Yeah, and I'm very tired. And I admit it. I'll probably say something stupid like the phone number. But I do think that the Clintons and Hillary have demonstrated, and I said this before the other day, have demonstrated a part of their character that is troubling. Whitewater was troubling. It was. And most people don't even remember it now.
I read every word of it at the time. Jeff Getz from the New York Times. Yeah. I don't know what it was about.
Well, the point really is that they sometimes take chances that they shouldn't take.
And that they don't have to.
Yeah. And what? Hillary Clinton didn't know when she went before. Was it Goldman Sachs? Is that who it was? And gave a speech for $100,000 or $200,000. That she wasn't going to be running for president and that this wasn't going to come up?
Okay, I get that. But, Alan, why shouldn't she have done it? They offered, if someone said, Alan, come and talk to the chamber, we'll give you $100,000, would you say, oh, wait, that doesn't look right?
No, I would not. Look, a long time ago, I'll be honest with you, Rosemary, I stopped taking money for speaking engagements. Early on, I was getting a couple of $100, something like that. And then one day I woke up and I said, you know what? I'm expected to run this radio station. I make a fair salary. I am not going to go around schnurring up money for myself because it doesn't look right. It doesn't smell right. Here's a woman who's going to be running for president of the United States. You can argue with me that maybe she should have taken it because it was there, it was offered to her. But the fact of the matter is, you want somebody with judgment. And I'm not an anti-Hillary person at all. But if, in fact, she ends up, taking a gig like that, she's got to have the wisdom to know that it's going to come back and take a bite out of it.
I do agree with Alan on that because, and the reason I do is because there's a difference between if you're the former president of the United States, Bill Clinton, and you're done. Your political career is done. Active political career is done. So if you want to go and take a speech
at Saudi Arabia for $1 million,
and go to it, market rate, whatever they're going to pay you. But to Alan's point, which seems hard to get around, which is everybody. We all knew this woman was going to run for president. From the time that she left the White House as First Lady, there was going to be a time when she was going to run for president. This is her second time. So,
and she knew it.
Yes. So isn't that a fair?
If you're going to run for president, you need in this country an obscene amount of money. And she gets it by one night. And the deal is probably I get to say anything I want, no strings attached. I don't see it as a huge.
You don't know that.
Is it going into the campaign or is it going into her pocket?
Her pocket. It was her pocket.
Well, what's the difference? She's running her campaign.
Well, you know, Rosemary, you have just, and you and Joe have just hit on a profound point. It was one thing when Shelley Silver and his Senate counterpart, Dean Skelos, took money or tried to get money for themselves. It was another. It's another when you see the sort of quid pro quo that goes on in putting money into campaigns.
And Hillary said repeatedly last night, I never made any vote that had any connection to any money I took. And that's not been proved. I've not seen that anywhere. I'll change my mind. I actually think the reporting on the Bill Clinton Foundation is more troubling, way more troubling than giving a speech. Who cares? But to take a donation where you are getting something from a foreign government, that connection is worth looking
the
into.
Yiddish
it's
word,
not been pinned down. But
the Yiddish word in this is sechel, wisdom. Are you a wise person? A wise person understands what this is going to look like once it gets
out. Right. And I guess that's exactly. That was what I was just going to say. I agree with you. I understand what you're saying as far as that, it's probably okay to do it, but you got to know that the wolves are going to come after you, so why do it? You don't need it. It doesn't look good. Why do it?
Well, again, you don't need it is the part I don't agree with. I think you do need that if you're going to run for president in this country. You need.
Is she spending her own $200,000 on her campaign?
How did Obama raise all that money? How's Bernie raising all of that money? Asking for small contributions and getting it.
Is she spending her own money on it? I'm not sure that argument follows through. I don't think she's spending her own money on this campaign.
Well, I mean, it's more complicated than that, because if you're running for president, as she has for, what, the last 2 years, and you're not doing other work, you still have expenses, and so it's a connection. Well, she's a presidential running machine right now.
Well, she's part of the Foundation, and she has been doing other
and
work.
And Bernie and Obama, where did they get their money from? Little people went out, and by the way, it helped them a great deal, because once you get people involved in raising little amounts of money for you, they become yours forever. I'm coming back again and again to the character issue. Why do you take chances you don't have to take? And believe me, Rosemary, I'm not buying any of this stuff that there's not enough money. They got plenty of money.
I like the idea that Hillary and the Clintons play by the rules. Rules, by the way, that were set up by Republicans and by the gang of five on the Supreme Court, when they set up Citizens United, everything that Hillary is doing became legal and acceptable and constitutional. So they're playing by the rules set up. I don't like the rules. I think Bernie's totally right about get rid of Citizens United, legislate it away. But she's not done anything wrong. Mm-hmm. And then to come back and say, oh, she's immoral because she's playing by the rules as they exist, that's just not fair.
You guys are going to yell at me for this, but it's a matter of optics. It's a matter of how it looks. When Andrew Cuomo, and now you can start yelling at me for mentioning
his name. You can bring him into any topic.
But when Andrew Cuomo says, I'm against LLCs, the phony way of getting money that people are allowed to give anything they want.
And then they turn around
to him and they say, but you've amassed a fortune from the LLCs. When it stops, I'll stop. I agree with that.
That was a very apt metaphor, and I totally agree with him. And I think the Democrats lost the 2000 election in big part because Al Gore was a statesman. And he goes, no. You know, we're not going to let it go further. I concede. And he didn't. The Republicans went right to the wall.
It's a little bit of a stretch to make that analogy.
It's not. It's the idea of
rules. I thought Al Gore
was
a fool for doing that.
There are rules set up to play the game, and the Republicans in 2000 used those rules to win. There's actually, if I knew more about sports, there's probably a sports analogy here, too, where you accept the rules as they exist and you play right to the edge. That's what Hillary and Bill Clinton do. And I think that's good gamesmanship. You're saying, oh, it isn't pure. They should just, you know, sit on the mountain.
Well, that's what Bernie's saying.
Yeah, that's what Bernie's saying.
And this letter is to that point, Daisy's letter. She was talking to Goldman Sachs, for goodness sakes, not a Nazi organization. Like it or not, we will need to work with these organizations as we try to figure out this new strange economy. To go after on this, on Bernie's part, is pure pandering. I don't think so. I think when she says, I am not going to necessarily release what I said to those people.
She didn't say that. She said, I will look into it.
Well, we know what that means. You know, if she was on the side of the guard, she would have said, of course, yes, of course, I will release it. But instead,
she released her emails.
Will you please let me just finish this one little sentence here?
No, I want to just keep interrupting you to throw you off, Alan.
You will succeed. I guarantee you will succeed. No, don't you think? And you succeeded. Okay.
He just finished the fun drive.
I know. I took advantage. That was low.
But I think it's legitimate of Bernie to raise the issue.
Oh, yes.
And when she says, maybe I'll release the transcripts, we want to know, don't we? It's one thing for you to say, you've made up a whole scenario here in which she wasn't told what to say, she didn't have to say anything. But if we have the transcripts, we'll see if she was pandering to
them. Well, there was a lot of discussion on the news shows, the analysis afterwards, of why does Scott Todd ask that? What does he want to see? What is he looking for? It's not clear. This is something that's developing in real time, which is the sign of how great a debate it was. It was like, hey, why can't we see the transcripts? And many people think that she kind of stuttered over it because she wasn't even sure if there are transcripts. I think he knows that there are.
Well, is there a YouTube? I mean, there is usually.
Not at Goldman Sachs, you know, $250,000
a night. Well,
exactly.
Romney didn't think there was a video either.
Well, you know this is coming out either way.
Right.
Every waiter and waitress has a cell phone.
I do think that she better be looking at those, just like the emails, and get those out there.
Oh, and by the way, how disingenuous can you possibly be? It was during the fund drive, but her campaign saying, we would like to release all these top secret emails. We'd like them out there. Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, really? That's going to happen? No, it's not going to happen.
Actually, it may not, but it's not because of Hillary. Her stand, and it's really legitimate, even Bernie went and has to agree a little bit to it, is that these were not top secret at the time. The State Department has reclassified them.
Not only that,
how can something, now, it wasn't secret then, but now it is? Give me a break.
Yeah, not only that, but Colin Powell.
Yeah, Colin Powell had the same thing.
So two wrongs make a right and all the rest of it. But
she's now saying, rightly so, that, look, you know, we need to look at the whole system. How does this material fluctuate from secret to not?
Oh, I see.
So let me.
But it's not criminal.
Let
it
me change the subject and try to address something about Hillary Clinton speaking that is a little less controversial, and that is that political observers have called her voice loud, flat, and harassing to the ear. They have said that she has
sexist.
A decidedly grating pitch and punishing tone and called her shrill.
Who called her that?
Bob Woodward, veteran Washington Post editor, says, I think a lot of it with Hillary Clinton has to do with her style and delivery. She shouts, he said, adding that there was something unrelaxed about the way that she is communicating. Mrs. Clinton's allies berated Mr. Woodward for what
for
they
good
viewed
reason,
as a gender-based critique of her impassioned tone on the campaign trail, pointing out that the stock and trade of her Democratic rival Bernie Sanders were his rousing remarks delivered in forceful tones.
No, I agree with that. I agree that with the critics of Woodward. I think he was a stinker on this, to be honest with
you. Really, really horrible.
And look, but here's the important thing. There are four of us sitting here right now. You know, Joe has expressed some real reservations. Mm-hmm. Ray has said some real reservations. I've given some real reservations, not on the speaking voice, because that's stupid. She's very good on the stump. But we have some real reservations about what's going on here. Substantive reservations.
Right.
You are defending the flag, and I only have respect for you for doing that. That's why we love you, and that's why we want you here, honestly. However, the fact that three people in this room of four, two of whom are pretty liberal fellows, has got to be somewhat troubling to the Clinton campaign.
Well, I'm sure that it is, and she answers the questions all the time. I want to say that I think there's plenty of reasons, and I don't object to it when people say, I'm not going to vote for Hillary, and here's why. I hate that they're doing it, just like I do when you guys are saying it, but I understand that. But this kind of stuff and that expression, have you seen this? It's all over the social media. They're calling her Hill Dog.
Yeah.
Oh, well, look.
Holy cow.
No, it's terrible. That's terrible.
What does that mean?
Well, it's got lots of interpretations. Dog is an ugly woman. A dog is someone who goes up to anyone and panders, gives them anything they want for a pet.
Look, these are not nice people. What are you going to do?
Oh, my gosh.
What are you going to do?
So it's hard to separate, and it may be part of my passion in defending her, is that I don't like the attacks against her because she's a strong woman, because she is incredibly prepared, and she's disingenuous.
You see, it's what I like about her. I think she is terribly prepared. I think she is ready to be president. What is bothering me more than anything else is like this character thing that we keep talking about, when you take a guy who's a known crook and you pardon him for what did he have to do that for? What did the Clintons have to get involved? That's where they go when they don't have to go, and it's crazy.
I agree with that.
Yeah. And I agree completely with Alan. You know, it's not that you look at this woman, you think of that she is, and I agree with everyone who says that she's probably the most qualified candidate that we have had in decades, running for the president. And the two things, and I'll readily admit it. And maybe this is stupid of me because I just don't have a good answer in my mind. And maybe there's one that's just blatant that I don't see. But I don't understand why somebody in their right mind, knowing, say she gets elected, she's just going to have 4 or 8 more years of what she's been going through in the last 25, 30 years. Why would any human being want to go through that?
Well, and that I don't understand.
Well, she's tough. She's tough, and you got to admire that.
She overlooks all that.
I don't think, look, Thomas Jefferson got it right towards the yes, when he was the president. Nothing's new here. They talked about him and Sally Hemings, and they talked about all of that stuff. And nobody's immune from it when the outs want to get in. That's the way that it is. And she's tough enough to know it. Look, Sumner Redstone is retiring as the head of
the Just stepped down, yes.
Yeah, just stepped down. And now there's a huge mud fight between his daughter and the board and members of the board who want somebody else to be the head guy. And I'm thinking to myself this morning as I'm reading the story in the Times, I'm thinking, well, you know, who would want to go through that? Well, the answer is it's power. It's what your legitimacy is in life. It's some people will and some people won't.
We have to go take a break. When we come back, we'll continue and wrap up our roundtable portion of the panel portion of the roundtable. We'd love to hear from you. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be right back after this short break.
Support for WAMC comes from Ichiban Japanese and Chinese Restaurant, Central Avenue, Albany, serving hibachi dinners, sushi, sashimi, curry soups, Thai, and entrees, offering daily specials, 518-432-0358. And McTeague and McClellan, designers, makers, and buyers of fine jewelry since 1895, and welcoming visitors to their workshop and showroom in Great Barrington, Tuesday through Saturday, mc2jewels.com.
I know. The debate continues here in the roundtable studio. Yes, Ray.
During the fun drive, one afternoon, Jess and I were on, and somebody said, I don't like, there's too much bumper music in the roundtable. The reason is because we argue. That's what I said. we're arguing, and we can't open the mics because we're swearing.
It's not that we weren't swearing in this particular case, no. But we also we want to know what we're doing next, and we're doing a little planning and that kind of thing. That's all it is. And
oh, right, that too.
Yeah. Our super volunteer Carol says the criticism of Hillary being shrill makes me angry. Since the first run, she's actually lowered her register because she faced that criticism before. Her hair isn't right, her clothes are not right. She's damned if she does, and damned if she doesn't. Just stick to the facts and substance.
I have a good friend who's a businesswoman, not in politics at all. She's a lawyer, and she gives seminars for women who want to succeed in business. And she has a whole section on the register of your voice. Women have this thing, men don't do it, I see it in classes all the time, where they'll talk like this, where everything sounds like a question at the end.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing, men hate that. And the monotone voice is another, and shrill is another. It you can bet your boots. Carly Fiorina knows this stuff too. They've had lessons in how to talk.
She's very well trained.
Taken
in that.
Seriously.
I think to a fault.
Well, that's right. This New York Times piece that I read from earlier regarding the Bob Woodward comments and comments from many others, it wasn't just Bob Woodward, that said that she has really made a concerted effort and has worked a lot on her delivery. She has said that she's not the same orator as her husband, but she's not that natural, that Cuomo.
Which Cuomo?
Mario Cuomo.
So we didn't get Andrew in again. Oh, darn. But yeah, I agree with Alan. I think that was gracious of you to say that is the mark of someone who really wants this and is working for it.
Yeah.
Instead, the criticism of her, because she gets criticized for everything, is, oh, she's overprepared, she's just artificial,
I think her voice on the debates has been fantastic. I do.
She's a great debater.
Her tone is really amazing. When I say tone, I don't mean about voice, but just the tone that she strikes and the messages and the very, again, you want, if you want somebody who is qualified and ready for the job, she certainly exudes that confidence and those qualifications.
Yep. Oh, you have to read that letter.
This one says, Rosemary, please look up Hill Dog on urbandictionary.com. It's from South Park, and it's like Snoop Dogg. You guys need to catch up with pop culture.
I did this. I do my research here, and I did look it up. I also looked up the South Park episode.
By the way,
Urban
Dictionary, not...
Yeah, it's not
exactly Merriam-Webster, but go ahead.
People say that it comes from South Park, but I have yet to find the clip that has that term in it. And then look at the comments on Urban Dictionary, and you'll see that it has grown. It's not like Snoop Dogg.
Like any other words, in any other word, it's how it's used.
Right, and then it's come to mean ugly woman and, you know, lapdog kind of thing. It is an ugly word. It is not pop culture and neutral.
And Ashley says, that criticism of Hillary's tone, pitch, of voice is so blatantly sexist, it's unbelievable and hints at something I've always suspected is at play in Hillary's campaign, which is that many of the criticisms against her are based more on her gender than her actual skills, actions, and expertise. I absolutely think she's the most qualified and prepared candidate out there today, and that's from Ashley.
So we have always said, ever since President Obama was elected, and even when he was running for president, that there was a closeted racism that many people held in how they dealt with this. I guess we still see this when it comes to Hillary Clinton and the question of a woman president, except it doesn't seem as closeted.
It's not closeted, and it isn't just against Hillary. Sarah Palin, who dislike as much as I like any politician, is a beautiful woman, and you saw pictures of her legs. You saw the same sort of sex crap against her. You're hearing it now about her voice. There are many good reasons to attack Sarah Palin. I've used a lot of them, but it's not about her looks or the way she speaks. And we just have a real problem in our culture with strong women. We just do.
Well, you may be right, and I...
Can I get personal for a second?
Sure. Yeah, please.
I mean, don't you think that's why you elicit the response on this show that you do?
I get two things. Either I'm like a man hater, and I'm not. I'm not going to talk about my personal life, but I'm not a man hater.
Some of your best friends are men.
Some of my best, all kinds of things are men. And the other thing, I get is that I'm a lesbian. That, you know, to be like this, I have to be homosexual. So, and both are false and both are extremely sexist.
Yeah. And because I see that, you know, a lot of times when we have these conversations and you, when you speak about these issues and on the defense and you see it yourself, we see it in the letters. It's very, very true.
We just have trouble with women in our culture. Here's something. Men kill their children. Horrible, but it happens. Women kill their children, and they become. We know their names. We know Susan Smith.
Yeah.
We still know. You say the woman in Houston with the bathtub. We know those because we have strange feelings about women in our culture. We want to adore them like a mother, like a Madonna, or we want to denigrate them completely.
That's a reach.
It's messed up.
That's a reach, Rosemary.
So I have yet another theory. Really quickly.
Okay. Yeah. About
really
a 30-second theory,
which is that postmenopausal women become sort of like men to many people. So you get the Indira Gandhis and the other,
oh, good
and
Lord.
The other people.
I have to go as well.
Well, but the point really is that when you get a Sarah Palin, it's a different story than when you get a Hillary Clinton. And I think Hillary Clinton is a very talented woman who fits into the leadership, whether it's in Pakistan or India or in Argentina.
Okay, we're out of time. But
tomorrow.
I thank very much. Okay, so Alan gets the pull the grenade at the last moment award for today's show. We'll be back on Monday. Thank you very much. We'll cater the billboard there, Rob. Thank you very much. We'll be back with more Roundtable after this.